Can't spell shattered without shat or turd.
Like a gut punch to the apple.
Some of the funniest shit on the web.
I call it a rock fret.
I like the cut of your jib, gentlemen.
These five are the only protection we have.
The best part of the show is the genuine Hasbro love.
And of course, Pat's weekly farts.
Breaking news.
It's very outside of the box.
Nailed it.
I love Friday.
Bob's Bacon Tackle, now carrying Hasbro.
They truly are your favorite podcast.
Thoughts, prayers, likes, and shares.
Shut up.
A to B.
Is that you?
When are you going to bring Larry back?
My favorite Star Wars podcast.
Shattered Cast on
complete fuckers.
Podcast is intended for mature audiences only, and its sole purpose is to entertain. If it doesn't fit with your sensitive sensibilities, please feel free to turn it off now and
shut the fuck up, Chip.
What's up, everybody? We have a special exclusive for you. I'm hoping to get this up on YouTube, but I got to see if Matt can handle it Wednesday. If he can, I don't know. We'll see how it goes. But for those that missed it, there was some internet drama. Go figure. I know it's a big shocker. I hope you were sitting down on Twitter recently in regard to episode 189. So Maz, I keep saying Maz, dude, because I'm thinking Maz Kanata. But he's a Star Wars fan, so it's no big deal. But Maz stepped forward and said he'd like to come on, address it, etc. Greg and I initially were thinking we could cut it into the show. It ended up running a bit long, so we thought the best thing to do would be put it out on its own.
And it ran long.
It ran
just
long.
Just FYI, because Maz is a pretty fucking cool guy.
And because we had to slit each other's throat, so we didn't stop until one of us stopped bleeding. That's not
that
true.
That too.
That's not true. That's not what happened. We had a good time. He was a straightforward dude, you know, no issues. We talk a good bit. We go on some tangents, but I think for the most part we stay focused and we get to hear his side. He gets to hear our side. I don't want to give away too much because you guys are getting ready to enjoy it. But one of the things that kind of took me back on it was, you know, he said like he was kind of surprised at how much we got right. You know, in spite of all this Twitter bullshit, he was surprised at how much we actually got right. So, yeah, it was a good time. Good dude.
If you're not familiar with the Twitter, the hashtag is MakeToysHateAgain, and you should be able to find all the responses we got.
But yeah, he's a gentleman. So. I've never spoken to him prior to today, and he made a good first impression on me. And luckily, I got to avoid all that Twitter shit, so that was good also for me. Anything you want to say about it, Greg, before we get going?
I think he's a Indian Brit who lives in Iceland.
No shit.
So the next one of you motherfuckers that calls us racist on TFW, you might want to think about the company we keep.
He's just repping all those boroughs.
Just repping the five boroughs of the fucking United Kingdom.
And now you're going to shout out Harlem and Queens at the same time.
Yeah. No, it was very cool. It went a lot better than I thought it was going to go. I think he came into it with a very positive head.
I agree.
And I think he was more optimistic about it than I was, to be honest. I was just waiting for something to go wrong because that's my nature, and I apologize. But, yeah, it was cool. It was
Shattercast cool, fans will also be pleased to hear that we asked him where third party will be in 5 years, and he gave us his opinion on it, kind of a shocking opinion as well. So stay tuned for that.
And we managed to work in a ooh.
We worked in a ooh, and we made him make some noise.
Yeah, oh, he did.
Yeah, so all in and all, wins.
And, oh, I'm sorry.
No,
I was
going
to tell him the part where he said, fuck fans toys.
He didn't say that. He did say, fuck the car masterpiece, though. Maybe he didn't. Let's get started. Hey, they're going to tweet about it. Ah, the Shattercast guy said it. Matt said, fuck the car masterpiece. Oh, chill out. Everybody relax. It's no big deal. Don't get bent out of shape about some toys. We don't. But with that, let's get started. After Mr. McGregor and fucking Floyd we have in the one corner wearing the black trunks, Greg for Mercy.
The thing that you don't understand was he was just referencing American football on Fox, and he completely just blew his sports reference.
Because I followed it up with the boxing reference?
Yes.
Dude, I don't know.
You followed it with a fucking shit show reference. Jesus Christ.
And in the opposite corner, we have Maz, the photographer.
Check out these cunts.
And tonight is going to be a fucking bloodbath. I'm kidding. We're all fine. But we are going to have a conversation about the events that took place on Twitter. Let me first say this before we get started. I hate fucking Twitter. I think it is a social media platform with a limited amount of accountability, so people have a tendency to be a bit more reckless on that platform. So I tend to avoid it. So I didn't catch a whole lot of this kind of in real time as it was happening.
He's not talking about the specific events being referenced here. He means
in general. Yeah.
I feel like we need to be a lot more clear.
In general. I know that Facebook is for old men, and I'm an old man, but I just like Facebook because I feel like if you speak reckless to me, I can find out who your sister is and PM her. So, with that being said, let's talk about – I'm here to more so mediate, even though we're all cool. I'm just here to keep the conversation focused and on track. And to be honest with you guys, I'm really just here to provide the recording.
Oh, really? That's not what you told me.
It's mostly a conversation for these two guys to have and mostly, I think, a positive conversation, but at least shed some light on everybody's different point of view. So with that,
I hope you give your input as well because
of course. I have a hard time not giving my input.
Yeah. Okay.
but with that being said, we're going to start with Twitter, and then we're gonna wrap up the Twitter shit because that's the more negative stuff, and then we're gonna rewind and we're gonna tell the real time events. Let's start because it was obviously we got wind of it from other people on Twitter, so we'll start with you, Maz. And how you got turned on to all of it.
Okay, if I'm going to start from the Twitter bit, I think actually I contacted Shadowcast directly, and I'm guessing it would have been Greg who was responding to me at the time.
Well, you did. I think someone else responded to you, and they mentioned it, and I went – I haven't been on Twitter in probably 6 to 8 months. It's going to say I have been on – if you're talking about my personal account, because apparently every time I like our social media, it automatically reposts it, which is something I don't understand because I never use Twitter. I don't understand Twitter.
Yeah,
but either way,
I thought I did. But anyway, I'm sorry.
So, yeah, I mean I did get told that, okay, they've discussed this on Shattered Cast, so you might want to listen to it because you're mentioned on there.
So you're not a listener. I knew it.
I can't deny it. And I listened to the cast and I thought, okay, there's a whole lot of stuff here I'd love to talk about. And I think, like you said, on Twitter, it's going to be played out in public. Other people are going to jump in and very quickly it's going to become diluted. So the best idea would be for me to hopefully ask them if they would have me on the show and we could literally sit down and talk about Make Toys, talk about Galaxy Meteor, talk about what we know. And I think these guys would be quite surprised about how much I agree with what they've said. Good. And it didn't sound like you thought I would agree with you. It sounded like you thought I would be on the other side of the fence. And I thought, no, this is definitely an occasion where I can go on and show that actually, no, it's pretty similar from where I'm standing. So I thought, let me contact these guys on Twitter. And I wrote about a 6-tweet thread saying, well, if you guys would have me on, I'd love to come on if that's the done thing. And I also wanted to make it really clear that I wouldn't be coming on with a confrontational tone. I didn't want people to have their backs up to feel like they couldn't talk naturally because that's not how I wanted to do it. So I contacted Greg on Twitter first of all, and then he messaged me on Facebook with a friend request and we started to talk schedules.
Yeah, no, I think that was the right way to do it. That's another thing about Twitter, just like you said, like with the amount of people that jump in on something. And I haven't read this thread on Twitter, mainly because I have a hard time figuring out how to follow the goddamn conversation on Twitter. We do get emails through the Twitter, so I was able to hear some of it, but it's hard for me to piece it together. And I appreciate you saying, look, I'd love to come on and have a talk about it, and not... And once again, I mean, it wouldn't make sense to even approach it aggressively. Obviously, we're in charge of our show. If you were like, I'll fucking fuck you guys up, we would just cut you out at the end of it. You know what I mean?
So, oh, come on, you'd love it.
I would love it, and we might turn it into a joke somehow. But, you know, it's like you wouldn't be able to get your point across. You know what I mean?
No.
So I do appreciate the way that you did it. I think that was a stand-up move. Greg, do you want to tell your perspective from the Twitter thing?
Yeah, hold on. I'm responding to something the Maz posted on Twitter about 20 minutes ago. I
already said it.
He was like, check out these I mean, I can swear on here, right?
Yes, you
and
can.
I was like, this fucker really called us cunts. It just popped up. I saw the little bell on my the little notification thing on my phone. Yeah, I saw it. Actually, you and Matt brought it to my attention in the chat. Matt. I think Matt saw it first. I don't know if he responded to it or not. And then I was extremely fucking hungover. And I also had been taking some wrong medication for the last week or so and didn't realize it. So I was a little, like, loopy. And I was like, what the fuck are they talking about? And I went on there and I saw it was Mass. And I was like, fuck yeah, let's have him on. So that's how that happened. There was definitely some – well, I don't think I said fuck yeah. I was like, yeah, we can do it. We got to be a little careful with this slippery slope because we don't usually do this. But in the end, I was like, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
In all fairness.
Yeah, we don't usually have guests on. This is like a – you know, these are extenuating circumstances, so it just made sense.
And, well, I appreciate it.
And even then, like, we're doing this as like a separate segment as opposed to like having you on for the whole show and, you know, because it's pertinent for this, you know?
Yeah.
Because full disclosure, you know, back and forth, he's very upfront with me and us as a whole. So I was very upfront with him as well as the way we would be doing things, why we were doing it the way we were, and blah, 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 blah. And to reaffirm that nothing will be edited from this pertinent to this discussion. But either way, that happened. And then I noticed that, like, it started getting traction, like other people started getting involved. And ultimately, Sixo got involved, who was the other person I think was mentioned. And I told Maz in a private message, I literally said photographers because I couldn't remember who the other one was at the time because that's how fresh it was. Like, I don't think people realize we don't record this on a Thursday or Friday, like when it goes up. Like, we record this in advance and it gets like released later. Right. So when we recorded this, the Make Toys, that had just happened. Like, when they were like, it's been 24 hours, blah, 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 and they had the picture of the heart. Like, that had just happened. Like, it was a fresh topic. So it's not like we had, like, we didn't have all the information that we have now. I did plan on addressing some things and updating some things on the next episode, which will be recorded tomorrow. Tomorrow being Wednesday, be posted on Friday. But, you know, we didn't have a chance to, so we're doing this because people jumped all over it.
That actually happens a lot. Like, there's five of us, so we pick a day that works best for us. And a lot of times it's Tuesday or Wednesday. And then, you know, the show airs on Friday, and people are like, dude, how come you didn't talk about the Unique Toys, you know, reflector that's coming out? And it's like, well, because that shit came out Thursday night, and we fucking did the show on Tuesday, you know.
And the reason that we have discussions like this, I know the counterpoint would be it's very irresponsible when you don't know what's going on, blah, blah, blah. But at the same time, like, I think it's important when you talk about something like this to strike while the iron's hot. Go ahead and get it open out there and then update as needed because also, you don't want to wait like 2 or 3 weeks and then it's just like it fizzled out. Like, I think when you're going to talk about something like that.
Let me
yes,
piggyback.
Sir, Bobby.
I just want to piggyback on that for a minute. Like,
you always want to piggyback on it.
That is true. That to say it's irresponsible. Like, let's be clear. Like, we don't give a fuck. Like, we don't work for CNN. Mm-hmm. We're not a news source. We use the news as a guideline for things to talk about, but it's really just us talking. So the conversation that people are privy to is just a conversation that's happening. It's not like it's being done for show. I think that that's important because I think people try to treat it sometimes like we have this. I don't know. I don't even know what the right word is for it. But
well, I tried to address that just real quick. I did try to address that in that Twitter storm that was going on, that we are not a quote-unquote news outlet. Like, we're not TFW. We're not even named Chalk or, like, any of those guys. Like,
I don't even think that's what people want from you. I think it's pretty clear that it is an informal chat between mates. I don't think that's been lost at all. And I think that's why you have the viewers you do – the listeners that you do.
And the conversation – like, theoretically, the conversation that we're having is the same conversation happening with other people in other places. You know?
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of the idea behind it. So, Greg, you want to continue your timeline? Yeah.
Well, to add one more thing to that, I think the point Bobby was trying to make with that is that, like, some people who aren't necessarily listeners or casual. They might be casual listeners. They're used to other podcasts or other, sites or anything like that, like presenting themselves as news. And so they kind of like, and I'm using air quotes, like you can see me. So I'm going to be doing that a lot. So if it doesn't make sense, assume I'm using air quotes, because that's like one thing I have with doing a non-video podcast. I think a lot of people assume we're trying to be news. And so they immediately jump to, like, if we say something that's our opinion or speculation, they immediately jump to, like false reporting and things like that, when that's not the case. It's just us reacting to things that are in front of us at the time. And that's why I thought it was important to let people know that segment, that show that we did that on Thursday at 7 o'clock. Mm-hmm. Or excuse me, I'm sorry, I just shot myself in the foot. Tuesday at 7 o'clock, not Thursday at 7 o'clock is what I meant to say. So it's not like we had like release count numbers. We didn't have like things that you and 6-0 and other people had said on TFW in response to the situation in general, let alone like what we had said, like even before our show went live. Like we didn't have that. We were trying to jump on it just to have a discussion, get our opinions out there, and then hopefully have that evolve as things went on.
It's funny, you mentioned like the release numbers. It was actually the release numbers was one of the things that we, because we're in like a group chat as well on Facebook. That's, you know, generally we spend most of the day in a group chat with other people that are part of our group who we go to the pub with, and you know, it's almost like a mirror image of this. And it was actually the knowledge of that kind of stuff that when the news came out, I think it was Monday when they announced that it wasn't going to be released, we just looked at each other and thought that doesn't make any sense at all.
Right.
So yeah, so we will come back to those facts, because they're absolutely, like, that is exactly the reason why this all happened. Absolutely. But yeah, I'm one of the reasons I really wanted to come on is because I knew that this wasn't a news show. I mean, if it's a news show and it reports inaccuracies, I know that you guys will probably endeavor to set it straight because it's a newscast. But because it's an opinion cast of people in the fandom, and I've said in the Twitter thread as well, I have this pathological problem. I am that typical internet user who, if one person across the world has the wrong idea about me, I can't sleep. So I thought, these guys, you know, these are collectors, these are fans, these are normal people who collect Transformers and love this hobby, but they think this about me. I've got to set it straight, you know, I've got to go and let them meet me and at least hear what I have to say. So yeah, that was another reason, a motivation for me to come on.
And I'll be clear, like, I didn't know. Like, I'm never on TFW. Like, so this, usually, like, it's Greg and Matt that check out TFW. I think Justin does as well from time to time. But, like, so, like, all of my information regarding TFW comes from friends that get on TFW.
Sure.
So, like, I had no idea. But, at the end of the day, like, I didn't even perceive it as an issue. But, when anything initially pops off, of course, my instinct is to go, well, this is my team, so this is where I'm riding.
Sure.
You know, but –
I actually think that probably a fair number of Twitter responses you've got are in the same vein.
Sure, absolutely. Absolutely. But that's why I appreciate you, you know, stepping forward, saying you want to talk about it, get it out in the open, and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So with that being said, let's hear from you. Or go ahead, Greg.
Well, I was just going to say, I'm sitting here nodding and like making gestures that are never going to be seen.
Which is probably for the best, right?
My habit. No. I'm sitting here nodding along like it's my favorite song. Like, I know what Bobby's saying. But like, I think a thing that's weird about, like, I've noticed for the TFW community, and I don't, because I've had an account there since, I want to say, 2011. I've just recently actually started using it because I'm trying to get familiar with all aspects of the fandom, and piss them off and make them want to murder me at a con. So, but like, something I've noticed is like, if you like speculate or offer like an opinion, I think a lot of people are quick to, and I don't know if it's the culture we live in right now, like with current times, or if it's a TFW thing. I don't know. I haven't really been on there enough like to get it, but people are really quick to be like, you're doing fake news, or you're doing conspiracy theory. And it's like, I'm just saying what if, or I'm just saying maybe. Like, there was a thread today that actually ended up getting locked by a moderator about somebody incorrectly misinterpreted a Facebook post. I'm pretty sure this is what happened because of the timeline.
Is that the cease and desist?
Yes.
Did you see the thread? I couldn't bear to go in it. I'm just going to have to take your word for it because I knew the shitstorm it was going to turn into.
So basically what happened was Emily, who is a fan of the show.
Shout out to Emily.
Shout out to Emily. Someone that we interact with and we respect and that we love, made a post. And I only saw part of her post because it was cut off because I saw a screenshot. I think it was in a UK group, which is why I didn't see it because I'm in most groups with her that are American-based groups or international groups. But it was something from the Chosen Primes website where Hoodlum and RC were not for sale. And I think she was trying to – she was liking that. She was saying maybe this is what the Kapow Toys thing was.
Oh, yeah.
It's the impression I got. So then somebody on Twitter saw that and said, hey, I heard from some friends that Hasbro issued a C&D on fans toys. And then someone saw that, and they made a post. And so I'm trying to work through it in real time, like in the post, like have a conversation. And I would say, like, well, I don't see it on any websites because I don't pre-order much anymore. So, like, I don't – and I'm not interested in Hoodlums. So, like, I saw that, and I was like, oh, maybe it is taken down. I don't see it on any other sites. And people are like, you're just adding to the confusion and the bullshit. And I'm like, no, I'm trying to have a discussion and work through it. And I actually contacted Brandon at Chosen Prime, and he's like, yeah, this isn't true. Like, this isn't what's going on at all. And then the thread kept going on for about 7 hours. But and then it was locked. But I say that to say this. I think that's more of a thing you see on TFW. So if people listen to our show and they think – like, oh, these people are doing quote-unquote news, and they're not familiar or super familiar with it, and they hear us saying things that may not be true at the time. Like, we may not know they're not true, but we're just saying things. We're doing it to capture the moment, or at least I do, to capture the moment. And if I have to apologize or retract statements, which I've done before, I will do it. So it's just one of those things where I think it's two different cultures, so to speak, that exist in this fandom that clashed. But anyway, Bobby was trying to transition, but I just wanted to mention that thread and use that as another example, a counterpoint or a counterexample of what's going on here.
Yeah, and people, they hear something and they'll run with it. I mean, it's like someone, I think, was listening to your show, episode 189, and they jumped on TFW, and they basically did an almost more intense version of your conversation in one
shout
post.
Out to Gage.
and that was what was like, whoa, okay. And then I think someone contacted me and said he's probably got that from this cast, and that's where I was like, okay, so I should probably go and listen to that then.
I saw that.
The thing with that cease and desist is that fucking I had a conversation with Snowflake from Toy Detox about it early, and like I was like, because he said, man, these two items aren't available for purchase anymore, and I was like, oh. And then it was early in the morning, and about 5 minutes later, I was like, wait a minute. They were never fucking available. Because I would have had them pre-ordered, and I don't. But yeah. All right. So now let's talk about this Galaxy Meteor. So, yeah. Maz, from your point of view, Maz Kanata, what is your take?
Right. So this figure was, like, teased. I remember that silhouette they had with, the Starfield background. And I quite honestly at the time thought that's definitely something I don't need to spend money on. It's not my core collecting interest. And then I saw the coloured sample and thought, that's actually pretty nice. So then I flew to London and went to Birmingham for TF Nation. I don't live in the UK anymore. I live in Iceland. And with the customs situation here, I just basically stopped ordering toys here. So what I do is that they go to my parents' home in the UK. When I'm visiting my friends in the UK, I'll pick up the stuff and I'll bring it home.
Wow.
And before TF Nation, I had had a delivery with like Titans Return Triptychon, Titans Return Overlord, a G1 Superior gift set, the Shredicus Maximus SDCC Skateboard Prime. That's plenty to go in a suitcase. And so when I went to TF Nation, I thought, right, I've got all of that waiting at home to go in a suitcase. I better not really buy anything here. With that in mind, I was helping out one of the stalls at the show. Didn't even know that there wasn't any of this stock there until I saw someone walking around with Make Toys Thunder Erebus, and I thought, where did you get that? And he goes, oh, you know, it's being sold over there. So I finally made my way over there. I saw Galaxy Meteor, and I had a chance to play with the loose one they had, and it's just delightful. Lovely, like, feeling ratchets, lovely posability. Yep. I started to put it in the pose of the run, And then someone said, yeah, Maz, someone's already done that. And I was like, okay, well, fuck it then. So I left it. And 6-0 bought the toy. He bought it. And that evening, we were in the bar area. And you know what the bar area is like at a convention. It's just like a free-for-all. There's tables with toys on. And
yep.
I mean, we have this toy convention at this Hilton Metropole at the same time as there is a quilting convention.
Every year,
we seem to be at the same time. And they're just looking at us going, what are these people doing? So the toy's on the table. I'm playing with the toy. And it's just like, it's a really lovely toy. 6-0's bought it. Some other people have bought it. And I
can I ask, are they knitting in the corner while they're judging you? Because I just want to...
No, they didn't take commissions. I tried.
Okay. All right, good. All right, continue.
But apparently they're up for anything, they did tell us.
I like that as a motto, generally.
That's terrifying. So the toy was available at the show. I ummed and ahed over it. I thought, I kind of want it, and it's nice to go home from these conventions with a signature purchase.
Sure.
For me, I had to decide that was the artwork I'd bought from Nick Roach. So I thought, okay, that's my signature purchase this time. I'm not going home with a ton of toys. But it was like a really lovely toy. And I was speaking to Spencer, who's usually at these shows. He was like representing Make Toys last year. This year he had some of the Make Toy stuff. He had Open and Play Spring, I believe, as well.
Yep.
And he had his Mars Toys Rune and Skiff and Gold and those guys. And he was like, yeah, why don't you buy them? Why don't you buy them? I was like, actually, you know what? Why don't you send them to me instead? But so after that, I was like, okay, so I'm probably not going to get a sample of this. I mean, I haven't received a Make Toy sample for a year now. The last thing I got from them was Striker Manus at TF Nation last year.
Hmm.
And I just assumed that, like a whole bunch of other companies, they just weren't interested in working with me anymore. And I noticed this was developing over the last couple of years. For example, DX9 and Unique Toys, they stopped sending me samples. KFC stopped sending me samples. Bad Cube stopped sending me samples.
Why do you think that is?
Oh, I know why it is. I mean, Ace Collectibles gave me the Tumblr. I gave it a bit of a negative review. They told me that they weren't happy with that. I didn't hear from them again. I think Bad Cube's the same story. I remember I reviewed Unique Toys Sorda, you know, their Sandstorm figure.
Yeah.
I just didn't get on with that thing at all, and I made that really clear in the review, and that's the last thing I received from them.
Right. Can I cut in just real quick, just to add commentary? At the time of our last recording, I was not aware that the circumstances of Maz getting that sample of Galaxy Meteor was almost exactly the circumstances of Bobby.
Yeah, so you mentioned this to me. So Bobby's hasn't had anything from them for quite a while as well, huh?
Yeah, I had you know, it depends, man. Like I think the last thing I got from them was Striker Noir.
Yeah.
But like it's funny, I joke, like in the emails I'll joke, you know, cuz they usually send me shit I don't want. You know? Like it turns out that Make Toys, in my opinion, is an elite company. You know, like, they make a good product generally. So, like, they send me good shit, but it's, like the stuff that I bought Jazz, and I bought the Target Master.
Yeah.
Contact Shot.
Yeah.
So, because those were two that I wanted for my collection, but I didn't get anything of those. It's like they know. It's like they know what I'm going to buy.
Knew people were going to buy that, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So like,
and they started implementing their like one toy per retailer rule, and so I knew that if I was getting anything in addition, because I never received any samples from a retailer. I write for TF Source, but I remember TF Source asked me, "Well, you contact the third party companies, you go to them, and you make a case for yourself." I was like, okay then. So I contacted companies, and it's like some of them got back to me, some of them didn't. And Make Toys have always been one that have – I just get the feeling they've always been unhappy with me. Like, the first thing they sent me was Axel, the Groove from their Defensor set.
Uh-huh.
And I was on holiday when I received that. And when I came back, I got the distinct impression they were expecting a much faster turnaround than it took me to do that.
Right.
I didn't really hear anything about the Visualizers review I did, and then I didn't get anything from them for ages. And then suddenly Pandanus turns up, fucking gigantic Pandanus.
Right.
And incidentally, I noticed that they sent Pandanus out to loads of people. They actually spread that one really far and wide.
I got one as well.
Because I didn't get Iron Will, I didn't get Coppola, didn't get Wrestle, didn't get Downbeat, didn't get Contact Shot, didn't get any of Guardia.
I did get the last two of Guardia, I believe. If not the last two, definitely Hotspot I got.
Oh, well, let me ask you a question. Of all those toys, you you listed off, I can only think of one that I personally was super happy with. So do you think the reason that they didn't send you that one could have also been like they either thought it was going to sell really well or they didn't want so many reviews of it out? Because like, I know with Coppola, I've had two Coppola so far, maybe three. I've actually had three now that I think of it because I bought one on eBay and all three of my copies, the wheel had popped off.
Yep, mine's happened. Yep, I've had two copies and it's happened to both.
And with Downbeat, for example, Bobby had said, my first one was fine, but my second one had all those not fitting together issues that people had had. So obviously it was a crapshoot, which one you were going to get.
Well, so, I also want to say this about just my experience with Make Toys and getting shit. When they initially reached out to me, they said that they were interested in working with me in the future because some of my complaints and criticisms of Guardia so far, which was like their first two pieces, were the exact same criticisms that they had internally.
Okay.
So they respected that and they were going to try to work with me. I said, cool, you know, and like, I'm not going to lie, I'm not going to fabricate, but I will mention anything that you want mentioned. You know, like if you're like, look, this is going to come with two guns instead of one, I'll say it. I'll also say that I don't know for sure, but I'll say that you said it, et cetera. And I did a not glowing review of one thing they sent me, and they said, no hard feelings, no worries, but we felt like you were too subjective and not objective enough, which I was like, okay, you know, I'll try to take that into consideration. I'm all about constructive feedback. I'll try to take it into consideration, of course. But at the same time, I was also like, man, I don't remember hearing anything like this when it was a positive thing. Like if it was too, you know what I mean?
Yeah, they have their angle, obviously.
Of course, and everybody, I mean, I create as well. Anybody that makes anything obviously wants people to receive it well. I get that, and I take that into consideration. But I have had a very honest, kind of open book exchange and discourse with them since them and I have started. Which is why I find this Galaxy Meteor shit so interesting.
Yeah, exactly.
Because this does seem like it has some cloak and dagger to it.
Yeah, a lot of stuff doesn't add up.
Right. So you were saying.
Where would I get to? Yeah. So, so I was in a situation where I wasn't receiving stuff from them anymore. And it was just like a developing trend for me. I was getting MMC and Fans Toys just about. And Fans Hobby. So I was basically resigned to the fact that, you know, moving to Iceland hadn't helped my situation.
Right.
They seem to think it's the Arctic and stuff won't get to me. So it is basically the Arctic. But so I got to a stage where I thought, okay, I would be really surprised if anything did arrive. And Spencer did tell me at TF Nation that I should expect a package. And I expected it to be Mask Toys because I know he's keen to work with reviewers. So I thought, okay. And I didn't buy a Galaxy Meteor at the show. And I did regret it. And I thought, it was only £100. It's actually really nice in the flesh. It doesn't matter that I don't collect Cybertron or Galaxy Force because it's a Starscream that looks really, really good. And I have liked my Make Toys products that I've bought. And I have enjoyed them. So, and I got to play with it. I thought, yeah, this is something I wish I had bought. So anyway, I was home in Iceland. And I think it must have been the Friday. My package arrived. And it contained Thunder Erebus, Galaxy Meteor, and Open Play Spring. And I was quite surprised that I got Galaxy Meteor. So I did some photos over the weekend. I mean, 6-0 and I have this thing that, you know, okay, we are friends. We do both blog and we do meet up, but...
Now, I heard you were the same person.
Shush. We got two guests for the price of one tonight. And
That's a joke for anyone listening. That was
brilliant.
a recent thing.
Just brilliant. And I'm happy to run with it. So, yeah. So, and I realized that, you know, this guy's photos are brilliant and I'd love to be able to... He's pushed me to do better photos. And I've never been a photographer. Before everything, like 18, 19 years ago, when I started writing online, that's what it was. It was just writing. And I'd take my point-and-click camera out, I'd put a toy up against a white door on a white shoebox and take photos. Or on my bed against like a white piece of cardboard or something. So I've never been a photographer first. That's just something that I've worked on over the years. And then my wife bought me a digital camera and I thought, well, okay, maybe I should really give this some consideration. Got some like a light tent and some lights. Got like some decent Adobe Lightroom software. I thought, well, this is actually really cool. And that's just developed alongside, but it's always been the writing first. So and it still makes me laugh when people refer to me as a photographer because it's always been writing first.
When we did our show and I said these photographers and I kept saying that, I actually couldn't remember who the other one was because I know your name from your articles. And I think I came off a little condescending with the way that I said it, but I was trying to not say names and try to like play it off so it's not like so much focus on the people involved. Sure. And so when I was like these photographers, I told you in a private message, I didn't want to say Maz and that other guy whose name I can't remember at this particular moment.
Same person anyway.
I thought that would have been more condescending. But yeah. I think you and Sixo and a couple other people out there that do toy photography have really inspired a lot of people. Like I'll go on social media, I'll go on Facebook, and I'll go to like a toy group, and there's like some guy who's got these like utility shelves made out of plywood covered in dust with like six movie figures on them, and he's got like a little watermark like you guys like on his photos. You know what I mean? Like I think if it's inspired people to quote unquote like try to do like a professional photography thing. So I mean that's something you definitely have to realize. And like you said, you were inspired by Sixo. I think I've seen photos much like in your compositions and things like that. I've seen that copied by other people. Not in a bad way, but in a
homage.
An homage, exactly. Yeah. So I mean, that's definitely something you don't need to discount. I don't think that's necessarily what you're doing. I mean, I'm not saying that's what you're doing, but you have to realize that. Like, I mean, you do decent work.
I appreciate that.
I wasn't trying to belittle you at all, either you or Sixo. When I referred to you as the photographers, I literally could not remember. At the moment, Sixo's tag, and I didn't want to say Maz.
You'll never forget now, though, will you?
Yeah, it's one fuck up I won't make again. Yeah. I'll never hear the end of the Twitter beeps.
That's the thing. Some people were saying, like, you've cost us loads of money. You know, you've done the photos, you've made us spend money. And so to get back to the Make Toy story, so I took some photos of this toy, and I wake up on Monday, and there's this news item that Galaxy Meteor has been cancelled. And we saw this in the group and we're like, yeah, you know what? They probably just got that wrong. It's probably Howling Meteor that's been cancelled because Galaxy Meteor was at the show. People were buying it. It was in a box. It was finished, ready to go. Probably just like a little... Because last year they had Striker Manus really early at TF Nation before it actually started shipping to people. And I figured this was exactly the same story. But no, it's actually like... And I popped on and I started to speak to Spencer and he's like, I know what you're here for. You're here to talk to me about Galaxy Meteor, aren't you? And I was like, yes, what the fuck is going on? And he goes, it's due to a lack of pre-orders. I was like, shit, okay. So basically there's a few of them out in the wild and that's it. And that seemed to be the case. You know, and this went onto social media and people started talking about it. And one thing that didn't add up was, how is it possible that a toy could get to production stage and then... The red flag about pre-orders comes up. Shouldn't that have been something that was identified long before final production test shots and boxes and packaging and paperwork were starting to be produced? So that was one thing that didn't add up. And then another thing was, and I think you mentioned this as well, it's not possible that they only did a run of like 32 toys. Right. I mean, production runs, in order to be cost-effective, need to be huge.
Now, I hear that they did a full production run.
In that case, it's sitting in a warehouse somewhere. And that was like, okay, well, what are they going to do with it? Destroy it? Give it away? No, they need to sell it. Surely that is a recovery situation for them. That they've made this toy. They've got to do something with it. Right?
Hold on one second. I'm trying to find this information so we can be a valid news source.
I think as far as I can recall, the only instance of a production run being destroyed – and I may be wrong, at least publicly destroyed, like put out there for everyone to know, was that Clear
Fans Toys Quake Wave. Yeah, that's
yeah
right.
Because they wanted people, because they were making a name for themselves, and they wanted to show people that they weren't going to put out something that they deemed to be inferior, which is actually ironic, considering that,
apparently MT did a full run. Some went to TF Nation. The rest are split as usual between Chinese sellers and overseas online retailers. There are a few hundred en route to right now to North America.
Okay.
That was sent to me in confidence.
So in that case, they can sell them and they can get into collector hands. And that's what we were thinking. Like Sixo and I were sitting there. It's been a week since TF Nation. The reality that we're not going to get to see each other for ages. All these mates, all this wicked Transformers loving. It's pretty blue homesick feeling from me as well, being all the way off in Iceland on a dreary Monday morning, thinking, well, you know, how am I going to... And now Galaxy Meteor has been cancelled as well. That's great for everyone. I thought, well, you know, someone said online, you guys are always enabling us to buy toys. Wouldn't it be funny if you actually enabled the company to release their own toy? And we thought, okay, that sounds pretty funny. And we just thought, well, fuck it, let's spam social media. Let's create this silly hashtag and just, like, post photos. And because we only had, like, 3 or 4 photos of the toy each, it was basically the same photo being recycled over and over again. And again, because of TF Nation and everyone's like this feeling of togetherness, a lot of the people who retweeted that hashtag were people who were at the show with us and, you know, just mates online. A lot of the UK community started to retweet it, and we didn't think that it was going to gain traction. I actually honestly thought people were going to start muting us or blocking us, especially Make Toys, because I was tagging them in every other post. And then it started to like gain a little bit of traction, and people said, yeah, let's get behind it. I thought, okay, well, at the same time, you know, it's adding to my social media engagement. People are looking at the photos. I'm spending, like, the other night I spent 4.5 hours in the kitchen microwaving tampons or boiling tampons to get a smoke effect for a picture. No normal person does this. So I thought, well, if I've spent that much time doing some photos, let's, you know, fine. If people want to retweet them, that's great. So we perpetuated the hashtag, and honestly, at the same time, we were having the same discussions that you guys were having, like, how did it get to this stage and it wasn't cancelled earlier? Why is there a production run down if pre-orders were a problem? Where are all the unreleased toys? It just seemed like it doesn't make any sense. Are they just doing this to then sell it on their own storefront? Are they going to just trying to drum up some interest in it? And suddenly, like, do you remember the grey eHobby Astro Train reissue from, like, 2002? That reissue, like, nobody pre-ordered it. And so Takara did a really small production run of that reissue, and now it's the most expensive reissue exclusive, that anime Astro Train, because suddenly it was unavailable and everybody wanted it.
That's the thing that hit me, and I think hit other people too. We didn't know how many had been released. It just, like you said, it seemed fishy. Like, not like... It just seemed like it was like maybe there was like an end game to it, and then all of a sudden it's going to be available again. And then you just said that there was a full production run. And
there must be, right?
Or no, excuse me, you didn't say. Bobby said from whatever his source was. I'm sorry, but you agree with me,
yeah.
And you agree with us that there had to have been. And now apparently these toys are en route. So, like, what do you think Make Toys meant when they said that we're going to find a way to make this available? Like, this is already in motion. These wheels are turning. So they never came back and said anything. So they're just going to miraculously show up at retailers. And
my guess is we're going to see them at TFCon. And that's another thing that, like, I know that I personally am going to be paying attention to where they are at TFCon.
Do you mean, like, which particular retailers are offering them, or, like,
yes, sir,
how they're offered as an exclusive, yes, or it's just
all,
like a
all the above. All the above.
When I mentioned your thread, on the last podcast, I think I was a little annoyed, and we were kind of running, like, we had been on the call for a while, and I think things got rushed a little bit. And I think I'd probably had a couple of drinks, and I was just trying to get through it. So I think that might have, like, thrown my vibe off a little bit. But when I was reading through that thread, and I was talking to these guys in a private chat earlier in the day, and I'm seeing comments like, if you have a production sample still available, I will pay a hefty premium for this. And
I mean, it's predictable,
like,
though, isn't it? It's bound to happen.
Exactly, and I have absolutely no interest in this, but I'll buy one if it'll help you out. And, like, comments like that, and that's why I'm like, it's a toy company, like, you know what I mean? And I couldn't help but feel like that was the end game. And I didn't think you guys were, like, implicit in this plan. What do you keep calling it, tinfoil hatting or whatever?
Yeah. Like, so sitting there with a tinfoil hat, because then your mind can't be read. invading aliens.
I'm in a couple of flat Earth groups because I think that shit's fucking hilarious to watch.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So I understand conspiracies and whatnot. Yeah. So trust me, like, I'm not trying to make a conspiracy theory at all. Right.
That guy you mentioned, Gage, and he private messaged me afterwards when I'd explained to him, and he said, "You've got to understand how it looked from my perspective. Like,
yeah,
they cancel it, you guys do this big campaign, and then suddenly it's back on." And the funny thing was, I never considered how it looked like him, because I know my history with Make Toys, and I know that throughout all this time, they haven't sent me anything in a year. They're just simply not interested in involving me in their reviewing circle. And honestly, as a collector, I thought, okay, well, I'm a bit annoyed. I like the work that I do, and I think I do honest work. I do nice photos. I put a lot of effort in. I can't really understand why they don't deem me worthy of their time. But I still bought their products because I like their products. I mean, I love that Jazz. I love that Contact Shot is one of my favorite toys of the year. I love 1987 generally, so the fact that they're doing MP9 scaled Headmasters and Target Masters, I'm all about that. I love that.
Well, so, if it makes you feel any better, they're the only company that's ever fucked with me.
It doesn't surprise me. But so when he said you how it looks, I thought, yeah, but knowing my background with them and knowing how I've got no change out of them, I really don't see them choosing me as the kind of person that they wanted to conceive kind of campaign.
Your perception is your reality, right? Like, you know, so you project that your truth onto that situation, and everybody else, without having, you know, any knowledge of the background, is projecting their reality onto that situation.
I was told really early on because I came really late to third party stuff. I was still writing reviews of like weird South American G1 toys and stuff when finally like TF Source said, well, do you want to think about doing some reviews? Why don't you go and approach some companies? And so I've completely forgot what I was going to say.
Well, let me ask you, did you do the write up for Tiger Tracks?
Yeah. Who is Tiger Track? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You owe me $65.
You're happier now than you were before.
No, sure. I'm not fucking happy. But I fell for it. You had me. You got me.
Real quick, I'm going to have to go AFK for a couple minutes because nature calls.
Oh, good.
No other way to describe it. But just real quick before I do, I'm going to put my tinfoil hat back on, and then maybe you guys can go back and forth because you have the shared experience, and then I can come in later. The nature of your relationship with Make Toys, and this is one of the things that, like, it got me about Bobby, and now knowing that you're in the same boat, and I'm hearing a couple other people that got a sample of this are as well. The fact that they haven't sent you anything in a while, and they kind of like put you on mute, so to speak, that speaks a lot for how they were pushing this toy, because I think some people got it before people like you and Bobby did. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure they had it in hand for a week or so. And
yeah,
maybe
I think video reviews had gone up before, before even TF Nation probably, right?
Yeah. So when they saw that the pre-orders were low, I mean, they were doing what they could to try to push it out. And that's why then when they were all of a sudden like, and Bobby, like, we don't always agree on a lot of things, but I think we share the same basic aesthetics. Is that the right way to put it? Like, we share, like, I typically agree with what he says for the most part. Like, we value the same things, maybe some more than others, but we still value the same things in the toy, especially $100+ third party figure. When he says a figure is good, I typically take him for his word. And I had seen a couple other reviews that are like, oh, that's a good figure. And then all of a sudden to wake up and see canceled.
Yeah.
And then
it didn't make any sense. Yeah.
23 hours later, I think it was. I don't even think it was a full 24. They're like, oh, well, we're back in. And then to see all those Facebook comments. So I'm wondering if, like, maybe they weren't trying a little hard. Like, they weren't going that extra mile, like, to push this out there.
Yeah, and they saw this fan campaign, and there's no doubt that they saw this as a goodwill out for them. So they thought, here's this fan campaign. We can totally use this to get some more goodwill by saying, okay, we've listened to the fans. Okay, you love us. That's awesome. We're gonna take advantage of the fact that two guys went and did this.
And not for nothing. I mean, I think that is even without all of this bit of business, I think that's been the case. Like, I think Make Toys has a very solid fan base because they put out a consistently good product. Any company that puts out a consistently good product gets a solid fan base. Fans Toys, Make Toys, MMC, Takara.
Yep. Yeah.
That's it.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you.
So, like,
but I definitely think that they saw this as an opportunity to maybe, I don't know. So, and the fact is, I knew all of that, and I could see, like, I was reading between the lines like everyone else, and there was so much negativity. I mean, at the same time that everyone was saying, yeah, we really love this toy, I mean, you must have seen it yourself. There was plenty of people saying, oh, you know, screw you, Make Toys. What are you doing? You know, you can't just pull the wool out from under us like that. You should make this toy. You're messing with your customers and all that. There was plenty of negative sentiment about it as well.
Right.
And we were sat there thinking, we could say the same thing. We could pipe up and be negative about it, but let's not.
I don't mean to cut you off, but I got to be honest. If you go through my video review and you go through the comments, like the last couple weeks worth or whatever, most of them are disappointment. It's not anger. Mm. It's disappointment. Yeah. It's not fuck you, Make Toys. It's bummer. This shit isn't coming out. You know, I think that if Keith did the same thing, people would have already had their pitchforks. You know, and I also think that, like, I don't know how you, like you said, you got to travel back and forth in order to get your kind of hauls and whatnot. But like I look at a lot of transforming figures every week, and like you do get not run down, but you get like you start seeing the same tricks over and over and over again, and you're like it becomes less exciting. So like when there is a product like this that I did find exciting, and I have no fucking attachment to whatsoever. I don't want
exactly.
it. I don't want it at all. But I have to acknowledge how well done it is.
Yep.
I think on my end, from my audience, it turned the heat up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I don't praise shit. And especially it's harder for me to praise something if I don't give a fuck about it.
Sure.
There's so much money and investment, and let alone somebody hit me up. I think it was Snowflake once again. Nobody talks about the fucking repaint potential. Mm. You know, like, you can easily do the other two.
Yep.
Like, they're just,
shattered glass.
Yeah, that four. Yeah. You know,
and all the ones that were released at tiny scale as well, like Ramjet, Sunstorm.
Sunstorm, exactly. Like, so, like, there's – anytime you do a Seeker, as long as it's well-received, it's a money pot. You know,
but then they didn't do a stepper from Downbeat, and that was a real surprise for me. And they decided they weren't going to bother doing like Hauler from Inferno, or they didn't do Artfire. And, you know.
Well,
so there's no guarantee, really.
Yeah, but that's true. But I think there was too much competition around that fire
the Inferno.
Truck.
Yeah.
You know, like too right. And then with Jazz, that is an odd one. I think the feedback from that was so mixed. Like, I don't really have any complaints with it. Like, I think it's fine.
It's brilliant, yeah.
Yeah, you know, like, but I know there were some complaints. And then, obviously, there's always that kind of Takara cloud in the background. So maybe that was what had them scared to do another one.
Mm-hmm.
But I do find a number of their business decisions strange. How Stryker Manus is doing and Cross Dimensions as a whole is doing. But I do find it peculiar that they would think that doing Riot or Despotron in, like, the Space Gun would be more profitable than, who are we, a Cliff Jumper.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I think they've got this policy where that if someone else is bringing a character to market, I think it puts them off. So I don't think we'll ever see like a Make Toy Sunstreaker, and even before the official one was announced.
Right.
Once they realize that like a portion of the market has been already taken by another company, they've already limited their profit potential, and it doesn't seem to be a viable option for them. It's like, well, not everyone's going to sell SunSurge and buy this. So we've already lost a portion of our potential customer base. I wonder if they look at it like that.
Yeah, and then thinking that Cross Dimension has no competition. Yeah. But at the same time, they got to realize that that's got to be more of a niche.
That was actually something – and I'm back, by the way, guys. Sorry, I know that was rude for me to walk away. But I think a 36-year-old man peeing himself in the dark while on a laptop Skype conversation would have been ruder.
This is an edgy show.
It is edgy, yeah. We cover things
like these fucking photographers
older.
And their fucking bullshit.
So here's another thing I mentioned. Like, with this release into what we'll call Galaxy Force, because that's how they're presenting it, the Japanese title of the show, I know, and I agree, I've noticed that trend with Make Toys, that, like, once another company kind of, like, announces something, they don't touch it, and they try to do their own thing in many regards. Like, what do you think the purpose behind Galaxy Meteor to begin with was? I mean,
no
surely they're not going to do a whole line of Galaxy Force toys, and I mean, do you think they thought maybe like with their business, their view of the way they choose what they pick, like they obviously weren't, now that you said that, that's what we think about this, like they weren't trying to kick off a trend.
Maybe. I mean, Takara decided to go down the Beast Wars Masterpiece route. Perfect effect to doing, you know, Optimal Optimus and... No, yeah, I think it's Optimal Optimus, right? Primal Prime?
Optimal Optimus and Primal Prime. That's the repaint.
So they seem to be doing really well with that Gorira. That seems to be doing fine for them. And I think Primal's probably done quite well for Takara. I wonder if it was just to sort of test the waters. You know, can we start expanding Masterpiece into new areas? And maybe the tooling for the toy is quite similar to something else they're putting out, so it wasn't that much of an R&D stretch for them to have a go at this.
And also, I mean, like I said, if they get one, it's you can get two more.
Yeah, yeah. And I think if they do release it, it's probably going to have to be an option for them. You know, they're going to have to kind of make the money back on whatever they've spent.
I'm not super familiar with this particular the toy line. Like, I've watched the shows, but, like, I never really got into the toys. In fact, out of all the Unicron trilogy, this particular show's toys, like, I didn't really care for. Mm. But did they do repaints of the Starscream, like, traditionally?
There was a Thundercracker and a Skywarp, but I don't think it was the same kind of Tetrajet mold as this. Like, there was a dark red Starscream that was a Toys R Us exclusive. It kind of like thrust colors. And then, of course, there was the Supreme one. But at the tiny Legends scale, there was Sunstorm, there was a Ramjet, there were other colors.
Probably because that Sunstorm fit into, Dreamwave.
I think that if they did a Thundercracker and a Skywarp, same mold, with traditional Thundercracker Skywarp colorings, they would capture a different audience.
Yes, I think so.
Well, I know Takara told me, I'm pretty sure they've gone on record as saying the reason that they delved into Beast Wars was because it was a different market. And it's that thing, like, when are kids going to be old enough to spend big boy money?
Yeah.
Like, that's a thing with any kind of, like, renaissance as far as toy properties go. Like with Masters of the Universe Classics, they're old enough to spend their own money now, and we can sell them like new toys. And I know Takara Tomy has said that as the reason that they did the Beast Wars, and so of course third party is going to follow. But the fact that a third party like is sticking their foot out there, because like I know like companies like Unique Toys, Keith has Alien Attack, and they're kind of like sticking their foot out there with movie toys because.
What's caused the cease and desist, honestly. It's probably the fact that they've started to expand into movie toys where they're irritating Paramount, car manufacturers, and Hasbro and Takara.
You know what? I saw that because that came up in your thread. I saw that someone said that's Maz's theory. There are two, because I've heard that that's what that cease and desist probably is. There are also two different knockoffs of that Bumblebee toy that are up right now for order. But Capella doesn't usually stock knockoffs, so I don't know. That's one of those things that, like, we're not going to know until we know. But but these companies are doing this stuff, and like it's like they're doing movie stuff because a lot of older fans embrace the movies as a resurgence of Transformers. I mean, some people, some of us don't, some of us do. You know what I mean? And so, like, I think it's weird that a third party company and this isn't like regarding the cancellation or anything. This is just in general. Like, I just think it's weird that a third party company would be like, you know what? We're going to start this line.
Mm-hmm. Having not finished the headmaster.
See how it goes. Yet. Exactly. Not finishing something that's already proven to be a seller.
Yeah. And everybody wants.
So let's also talk about this, you know, these rumors, and they're just rumors. Nothing's confirmed. Circulating that May Toys is in financial trouble in regard to third-party life. Now, May Toys is one of those companies that, through the rumor mill, supposedly has its own factory. So we have to assume that Transformers is not their bread and butter. Would we all agree?
I honestly don't know. It's like the whole manufacturing process is not something I know a whole lot about. It's just the fact that I have constantly been told that you can't do production runs of tiny runs and have it be economically
cost
sound.
Cost-effective, right?
Exactly. So that was another reason why I started the campaign as well. I thought there must be toys lying around. If they think people want them, people can get them into their hands. And surely they can just sell them on their own storefront or something.
Do we think that rumor is at all connected to this shit, whatever this is.
I honestly haven't heard they were in financial troubles because of that.
Or not, I don't mean to say financial troubles, but just that the company itself may be taking a break, as we say.
Yeah, well, the version of the rumor that I heard, the old TFCon rumor that's going around, was that they were looking into more officially licensed things as a side project, and then that might have something to do with their regrouping of their third party. I don't have any proof of that. I'm completely going by
rumors,
things that people have said, but I'm pretty sure somebody involved with Fans Toys or Make Toys had a hand in those GoBots. And it's obvious in the design, and whether or not they were manufactured by the company or by the factory, or it was just a designer. Like, I've heard both.
So the Fans Project guys, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if the people with Fans Project haven't done official stuff. It probably is non-transforming stuff or non-transformers stuff.
Right.
So that wouldn't surprise me.
But, I mean, you look at those GoBots and, like, those hands and some of the transformation tricks. I mean, they're the same. It's like even the Stunicons that they did. We're not saying it's fact. We're not saying anything else. I'm just saying that it's something that I've noticed.
I've learned is that when this shit goes beyond the fan level, when you start talking about anything beyond how you feel about a toy, what you like about a toy, what you don't like about a toy, and other things going on directly at a fan level, the shit gets shadier and shadier.
When you no one's got a straight story either.
Exactly. When it starts coming to people that are making money from this, so distributors, the distributors, suppliers, the companies, etc., like that's when the shit starts getting shady. Anytime that the dollar bill is involved, it starts, all of a sudden there's a lot of smoke and mirrors and cloak and dagger.
You just
and
reminded me of exactly what I forgot I was saying earlier, and it's relevant.
Shoot for it.
Yeah, so I had been telling you that I'd written about like old toys, Diaclone and stuff like that. One of the first things that people told me when I started doing third-party reviews was, you will notice that the time you spend working with third parties is going to be a privilege, and before you are aware of it, it'll be over, and they will have gotten what they maybe need from you, what benefits them. There won't be any loyalty to you. You will not experience loyalty from particular third-party companies. So it's probably best that you treat it as a privilege. Enjoy the toys while you have them. Don't expect it to lead anywhere. And that's why I never felt like I should express any brand loyalty towards any particular brand, especially the ones who have been quite strange to deal with and who are like one minute they're hot on you and one minute they're cold on you. So again, like under those circumstances, I always found it really funny when people were saying, oh, you know, you're in cahoots with them. It's like, you probably couldn't have picked a funnier group of designers to say that I was in cahoots with.
Right.
Because they're kind of unpredictable. Like, you get nothing for a year and then suddenly something's on your doorstep. So yeah, there is no loyalty. I haven't noticed there to be any loyalty as far as all of this goes.
I think that was something I said that could have been worded better, could have been possibly spaced out better, because someone combined like 2 or 3 minutes worth of audio into one paraphrase quote on Twitter. So
it's a pertinent point. Even aside from that, it's important for people to realize that at no point and I don't know if you feel this way as well, Bobby, but at no point you feel like, okay, these guys have sent me 5 samples. We now have a relationship, and this is something that's going to be built on. I expect it could disappear at a moment's notice.
Well, yeah. Well, we have. Well, I do and I don't. So, on a certain level, I feel like we have a relationship because we are communicating. So, like, they're not invited to Thanksgiving dinner, and I wouldn't expect that I'm going to Thanksgiving dinner. But there is the absence of relationship is not that exchange of information. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So there is something there. I've never felt like I've always felt like they're going to let me know what and when and how many they're going to let me see. And that is the confines of this relationship.
Yeah. And have you sometimes been asked to contribute to a project? Like I was asked by Oculimax, they said, well, we want to do some repaints of Sphinx. Like what's the historical context? Where can we look? And like, you know, could you send us a scan of the top of Diaclone Mirage's box so that we could maybe like do something with it? And
look, the only thing I've ever been asked to do is that artwork for Moz Toys.
Yeah.
Like, these I do know that most of these companies don't want anything to do with me. And I know that a fair amount of it is not even really accurate. Like, it's not valid why they don't. And only because Make Toys has told me this. You know what I mean? That my reputation is that I want to trash it. You know, I can't wait to trash it. But that's not who I am. It's just that I feel like it is my responsibility to be critical.
I mean, if you're not critical, if you're not honest about the figure, isn't the customer going to recognize that within 5 minutes of having the product in their hand?
Dude, you think so, but there's a lot of people that aren't critical that are successful.
Oh, I know, yeah.
Well, now, speaking of that, Bobby, I'm a fly on the wall at this point, but a mutual friend of ours did approach Make Toys about reviewing product, and he was told that he was overly critical and out of line because of his what's that thing that Matt got like 20 of?
Spin out.
The Sunsert, the spin out. Now, I don't know if you pay attention to social media, but more people shared his review because he did trash it than they shared your review, where you were surprisingly reserved about the whole thing.
Yeah, well, you know, like,
so it's like the people want
they want blood.
And they share that, and that's what gets the views, and that's what gets the attention, I think, like, over a controversial piece.
At the same time,
you will get someone who says, that was an awesome review, and I will look at my review and think, I've done better work than that. But because it was maybe a glowing review of a figure I really liked, it matched up with their expectations of it, it matched up with how they wanted it.
And that is the confirmation bias. That is the key word to reviewing. People don't want to know a lot, but there are not everybody, but there is a pocket of people that don't want to know your feelings on it. All they want to know is that your feelings align with theirs.
Fine.
And the cheaper the product is, the more intense those feelings become.
Mm-hmm.
I caught a lot of shit over Big Spring, but that's because it's cheap. Everybody that gave me shit is like, it's $60, man, or it's $80. That's what we need. It's like, well, maybe it's what we need, but I'm not that person. I am the person that would rather spend more for more. Now, if you're going to give me more and expect me to pay less, sign me up. I'm in. But if given the option of paying less for less or paying more for more, I'm taking the latter every time. But it's confirmation bias. People want – They want your views to match up with theirs so that they feel like they made the right purchase based on your opinion. But it shouldn't fucking matter. I don't give a fuck what anybody thinks about the shit that I own that I like.
Yeah, I remember with this year I got a lot of grief for my first review of the year, which was Oculomax Trailbreaker. There were a lot of people who were invested in that being their version of Trailbreaker. And when I didn't give it the review that they thought I was going to, I had to answer a lot of questions. Are you sure you're tabbing this in right? Are you sure you've done it that way? Maybe your version, maybe you just don't like it as much as the bad cube one. People were telling me what they thought I liked, and maybe I was having a bad day, and therefore I reviewed it in that fashion.
Right.
So, yeah, absolutely.
I'm not a toy reviewer, but I did not like that toy either.
I got the same thing.
Are you sure you're doing it right? Maybe you got a bum copy.
I mean, but I wasn't worried about that. I was worried about just the lack of presence that the thing has. Like, that flat black plastic just – it doesn't – like, I was having this discussion with someone else recently, and, like, we were talking about, like, that thing that really makes a masterpiece feel like a masterpiece. And I'm talking about scale, not brand. Is that – it's that paint. It's that special. It's that little special thing that makes it look more than a toy.
As long as it stays on the toy.
Yeah, absolutely. Agreed. Yeah. But, like, when you have something that's just that flat black plastic, it never is going to have the pizzazz of anything else that's painted, even an MP Ironhide, which I'm critical of, or a Fans Toy Sovereign, or, I mean, the list goes on and on. Even KFC's Transistor, as long as you don't transform it and have the paint scratch off, it still looks like more than a toy. You know, it looks like something special. And that MMC Trailbreaker doesn't have that. The Mirage did.
Yes.
But not
in
the
spades.
Yeah.
And actually, I didn't like the Trailbreaker, but I really like the hoist.
Oh, really? I don't even know. I can't remember whether I looked at the hoist or not. I don't think I did.
because it doesn't look like the hoist that everyone wanted, the cartoon hoist with the big, dumpy, fat gut, right, like weird proportions. It actually looks like a heroic hoist, mm-hmm, and it improves everything that was wrong with Terra Aegis. But that's, yeah. I don't think they wanted to send me artifacts, actually, because I didn't like Terra Aegis. They were reluctant to let me have this one because they didn't think that I would give it a positive review. I guess they didn't. Sometimes even the companies don't trust that you're going to be objective.
I have found it's a very limited impact. If it's not something you trash, like I still get comments every week on TFC's Detective review because I trashed it. But if it's something that I'm just like, look, I don't recommend this, the impact doesn't seem to be that big. You know, like, most people have already made their mind up as to whether or not they're going to buy something. Yeah. So it's just a very small population of people on the fence that you're actually affecting. I don't even think these companies should be taking these reviewers into that much. Like, it's more – it's like no – what was it? No – like, your Twitter buddy should know this. No bad publicity – there's no such thing as bad publicity, right? Mm. The name out there is the name out there. If I give a review to a figure – and I say, look, it's not for me. There's this, this, and this that I don't like about it. I can't recommend it. And it gets 3,000 views. Out of those 3,000 views, there's going to be people in that pocket that say, yeah, it's not for him, but those things that bothered him doesn't bother me. I'm going to buy it. And it's still bringing recognition to that product. Yeah.
At the same time, though, I think you were right last week when you said that this could damage MakeToys, that this could affect their reputation, depending on how it's handled from here going forward. And I agree with that.
That's true.
So as much as publicity as they're getting, they could lose a degree of goodwill over it.
But let me ask you a question. I ask both you guys this because of the ravenous nature of the fandom. If they were to come out with the perfect cliff jumper after this, let's say it was all a fucking sham. Mm-hmm. Do you think it would affect their sales?
Nope.
Me neither.
Nope. Me neither. I don't think so. I'm sure if we thought hard enough, we could think of another example of the exact same thing.
Right. Yeah.
Man, I don't know. Maybe not.
I think a degree of people would stand up and say, you know what, I'm not going to support it. I think there will be people who do that. But on the whole, I think you'll find it would probably still be a good seller for them.
Yeah, because no one's really doing it outside of X-Transbots. Like that Ace Toys one, which was fucking garbage.
I would like to believe that you know, if companies did shady shit and it came out, it was brought to light that it was shady. And I'm not saying that what MakeToys is doing is shady because I don't fucking know.
Nobody knows at the moment. Yeah, that's it.
But I am saying that if it came out that it was, maybe there's people out there that would draw a line in the sand. But I don't know if I've met those people.
Well, to be honest with you, Bobby, at the end of the day, it's not the company's behavior that really matters. And it hasn't mattered in any situation. It's the reaction and the absorption by the fandom that has kind of defined things. I'm trying to think of a good example. Like, you don't typically see people like trashing a company for one particular instance, but once people start getting on board and like it kind of becomes a group, like it kind of becomes a group reaction, if that makes sense, then you start to see people like basing their decisions. Yeah, the mob mentality, exactly. And that's just me. Like I can't think of an instance where a company has done something where the fandom collectively has turned its back on them.
No, I mean, if you look at Takara, when they released MP9 Rodimus, I mean, it was a figure with a ton of problems. And then they released the second version. And that it's my favorite masterpiece. I'm talking to you as someone who loves it more than pretty much everything else I own.
I'm just kidding.
And still, it was riddled with problems. And, they did a second version, which was riddled with new problems. And then they did the black one, which had its own amazing special ability of exploding knees. I mean, that should have been on the tech spec. And then there was the Hasbro one, which is like Schrodinger's Rodimus. If you open the box, it might break. Leave it in the box. You never know. That's probably the best option. That's four attempts at that figure. Did you get an apology?
Right.
Can I ask you a question? Did you coin that term, Schrodinger's Rodimus?
No, I can't take credit for that.
A guy that I'm friends with in the Facebook groups, Robert Huang had actually said that before too, and I couldn't. It was chicken or the egg. I didn't know where it came from. But if it was something that he said like randomly, or if it was something he got from you. So
it's beautiful though. Sorry. It's so true.
So look, let's wrap this up.
Cool.
Let me ask you, Maz. I'm going to ask you two things. Well, I'm going to ask you three things. Well, one is a question we ask of all guests, but the first two are specific to you.
Go ahead.
What are the things about this galaxy meteor, just to sum it up, that set your Spidey sense off?
The fact that it took them so long to realize that pre-orders were low and they let it get to pretty much release date before they did something about it. The fact that there were actually finished production samples being sold to people and then it was pulled, where that must mean that there is more stock somewhere ready to be sold. And I know Spencer's been online and he said that it's like an advanced test shot final run where it's only a small run. But from my understanding of production runs, it was always that they were done in bigger numbers. So it must be out there. It must be ready to sell. That was the main thing that kind of set me off.
Okay.
And plus that it was an awesome toy and I couldn't understand why people didn't want it.
Right. Now, what do you think is the best case scenario for them to handle this from this point forward?
I would like to believe that it was just a silly error on their part and that it should have been flagged up earlier, that genuinely pre-orders are low and they've kind of realized that they're not going to make their money back and they've genuinely canceled it to the point where there was a low production run. Basically, the best case scenario for me is that everything they've said up to this point is true and they've kind of not done their job well enough. And then they said, well, okay, everyone does kind of want it. Okay, fine, we'll release it. We'll fulfill pre-orders. Retailers won't get screwed. They'll get their figures and, you know, people will get what they initially were promised. I guess that's the best case scenario. And maybe people will say, oh, Make Toys were incompetent, but they won't say that they were shady. I think that was the best case scenario.
Okay. And now the question that we ask of anybody who happens to cross our paths, Shattered Cast tradition, where do you see third party in 5 years?
Well, maybe you should ask me at the end of this week when we find out what this cease and desist was about.
Yeah, well, let me like, we're going to have a discussion about that. I think I'm going to have to put this out. Greg, what do you think about just putting this out on its
separate
own?
This is going to have to be. I was going to say, because we're at, like, 2 hours.
No, we're an hour and 15 minutes, but it's cool. But
are we?
Yeah, so let me ask you this. What are your thoughts on that real quick, like 5 minutes or less?
I think if the cease and desist sticks and they decide to expand it to other products, other retailers, other territories, I think what's going to happen is that we're going to have a lot more trouble trying to get third-party figures, so we'll have to go to importers, maybe have to get it direct from the manufacturers. I don't know how much longer it's going to take them to shut them down. But instead of exploding or the bubble bursting, it just feels like it might just deflate slowly with a really embarrassing farting noise, you know.
Do you believe it?
From what I can see, I mean, I keep hearing that they're not selling well at retailers, but I still see plenty of demand for them. I still see plenty of holes that they can fill. I'm looking at a Galaxy Force masterpiece that I never knew I wanted and now I really like.
Right.
So in 5 years' time, I guess I would be surprised if it had completely disappeared from the scene.
Wow.
Well, I would be surprised.
Let me ask you this, because this is something that came up that TFW thread. Do you think if something was to happen domestically to where major retailers located overseas from us, I say domestically, like referring to the U.S., someone was like, oh, well, they'll just sell them out of China and the prices will go up. Do you think MSRPs, which you see it mentioned that they have MSRPs because people are constantly getting accused of snitching on other companies and blah, 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 because they're selling under MSRP. Do you think that's something that'll just go out the window and they'll just let them charge whatever they want? Like on Taobao or eBay or like one of the comparable sites?
I'd be amazed if it didn't result in higher prices.
Right.
Because it's immediately become more limited.
Yeah, and so, yeah, smaller runs.
Yeah.
Do you believe it's about this? Do you believe that it's – let me ask, because I haven't been keeping up with the TFW thread. Is it specifically to
Poser?
To Kapow Toys?
Yeah, I believe they received, because Andy from Kapow came onto the TFW UK thread and said that they had received a cease and desist for third-party products. He didn't specify which ones, but it was a cease and desist to his store for third-party products.
Third-party products.
That's something that came out a little bit later by Andy. So I don't know if he means like two specific items, two companies, are they separate companies? Are they the same company? I don't even know if it's one company affected or multiple.
I wish he would disclose that.
I don't know if he's allowed to. I'm thinking back to the whole thing with the exhaust and Marlboro stuff, because then all of the retailers, they got cease and desist, and they had to be really careful what they said and how they put it out there until it was resolved with the legal teams. That's the only precedent I can remember to sort of base it on.
Can I put my tinfoil hat on?
Sure.
Can I?
You mean it hasn't been on this whole time?
I'm asking the king of conspiracy theory criticism. Can I put my hat on? My take, from what I've heard and what I've read and what I kind of know and what I've kind of guessed and assumed at, my take with that Kapow C&D, I have heard from people that don't want to be mentioned. I will say they're retailers. I don't know if they heard because Kapow reached out, like, did you guys get this too? Or if, like, maybe they got one as well and they just don't want to advertise it. But it involved movie knockoff stuff. I would assume it means the Masterpiece knockoff stuff, since there's two items, being the two different versions of the Bumblebee that are about to be released, that are knockoffs, or maybe even that stuff that's basically the Takara molds with the different paint jobs. I mean, that's something I didn't think about, but because people like to use third party to refer to a lot of things that I don't think really classify as third party. Or fourth party, for that matter. And I know Kapow doesn't have a history of stocking knockoffs, but okay. Once I checked their website, like, if something had been taken down, like, I would have no way of knowing what it was. So, like, I'm wondering if it does refer to just that, and maybe since Kapow is the only company we've heard from that got one, maybe it's just Hasbro UK,
yeah,
like, taking advantage of that that legal umbrella, whereas, like, the movie Masterpiece toys were a conjoined release, like, or they release in conjunction with both companies. Like, it's not just a Takara or just a Hasbro. So they did have that authority. Like, I don't know. Like, that's kind of my take on it, though, that, like, if it is related to movie toys being knocked off and it's just Kapow, like, it might just be the Bumblebee. I mean, that's just my, like, kind of speculation and theory, just looking at what I've heard and the things that are, I mean, the few facts that we have. So I don't know. I don't know if that's going to come to be truth or not. But, like, people on TFW were saying it was the Peru kill or whatever he's called, the Unique Toys lockdown.
Unique Toys lockdown, yeah.
And it was the alien attack because the cars looked too much like cars that could be licensed. But we've seen licensed car third-party figures before.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. And then, in couple with that new suit, did you see, Maz, did you see that Hasbro's going after fucking DC and Mattel?
I saw a little bit about that. It's to do with Bumblebee, isn't it?
It's a little girl's. It's like a little girl's female hero toy that happens to be named Bumblebee, and it's black and yellow.
Yeah, she's been like an up-and-comer in the DC universe. Like, she's... Especially, I mean, Marvel's probably the extreme of it, but have been trying to kind of diversify their brands and more minorities, more females, et cetera, et cetera. And she's been, like, she's been one that DC has been pushing for. I don't know anything about her.
She's an older character from the 70s, but they just recently announced that she was going to be in that DC series when they announced that series. And I think 3 months later is when Hasbro filed for a new Bumblebee trademark.
I mean, Hasbro's going to be going – if they go up against Warner Brothers, I mean, that's a big fight. That's not a little fight.
So I'm wondering if those two things, like, if that rumor that the Kapow cease and desist was Bumblebee related, do you think they have anything to do with each other? And that Bumblebee movie that's coming out later?
I mean, I don't think anyone would be surprised if it ends up being that common thread.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. But I don't have anyone to talk to about it, because if I talk to anyone at TFW, then – we're spreading conspiracy theories. And if I talk to any of my friends, they're like, who gives a fuck about fucking Bumblebee?
That's true, too.
Like, and if just we, keep and him if, off the shelf. So,
before we get out of here, I got one last question for you, not a real question.
I have one, too.
Oh, well, go ahead and do yours first, because mine's going to be taking us out of here.
Maz, I know that you approached us about doing this, and I'm not sure if the format and things like that were what you expected. What is it – what have you not been able to say, or what have you not gotten to say that you wanted to say?
Honestly, like anything. I said to you on chat, I wanted this to be as if we were sat in the pub talking Transformers and going over something that we had both experienced. I didn't want to come on here and pick apart what had already been said and posted online and sort of address it one by one. I don't think that would have been constructive for anybody.
No.
So as far as I'm concerned, I've come online, two dudes, and had a chat about Transformers, and the time has flown, and it's been awesome. And that's exactly what I wanted.
Beautiful.
And I just wanted you guys to know a little bit about me. and know that actually I kind of agreed with most of what you were saying.
Yeah, and we appreciate you saying that both, you know, publicly. Do you know what I mean? Mm. Because like sometimes with this shit, it feels like you draw a line in the sand. It's a kind of a problem that I feel like humanity has been facing recently, and then everybody wants to pick a side, you know. And I appreciate you coming for, like, hey, let's talk about it. Let's have a discussion about it. Like, beautiful, absolutely, let's do that. And then not only that, but then say, look, I agree with a large portion of what you said. You know, like that's pretty big to say.
Yeah, there's no real benefit to the community for people like us to do things in silos. There's probably way better for us to communicate it. And the whole thing about us as a community, how do we get treated going forward by third-party companies if something dodgy is going on here? You're absolutely right that we should, you know, because if they're trying to get people to pre-order, I'm not doing that. I've decided I don't want to do pre-ordering anymore, and
right.
and I'm not going to suddenly change my philosophy to try and save individual products.
Right.
So I do think it's important for us to talk, and you say what your experience is, this is mine. And as a fandom, what do we sort of do to look after each other and look after the way that we enjoy this hobby? Because really quickly, it stops being enjoyable if it starts touching on certain areas. It suddenly stops being a fun pursuit.
I agree.
We have a new saying on Shattercast, and I wasn't part of it, but I think it covers situations like this. Bobby, do you know what it is?
No.
It's ooh.
I thought that might have been it. I almost did it. But I was like,
It's like a bunch of schoolyard kids sitting around a fight, and like I feel like that's kind of what has happened as a result of our last the last hour of our last episode. It's just people going ooh on the internet, and like I think, like I told you, there's things that weren't considered, like the fact that we recorded that shortly after Make Toys were like, oh, it's saved, and like looking at the events at the time and the fact that we were going to do an update, at least I personally was going to do an update on the next episode, which we're recording tomorrow night, tomorrow being Wednesday. I guess for everybody else today is Friday, or
we're gonna put it on. I'm gonna try to get this up tonight.
Nice. I'm a future man, but
real quick,
yeah, it was fun.
It was fun. Two things. One, I'm happy it was some internet drama that I got to stay the fuck out of for once. That was nice. And two,
don't get used to it.
I'll try not to, but it was very lovely. I'll let you know. I when I saw the shit in our chat going on about it, I was fucking balls deep in a fucking pepperoni pizza, and it was beautiful. So
ironically, I was also balls deep in a pepperoni pizza, nice. But I have my phone in one hand.
Dude, kindred spirits.
Responding to fucking, well, it was pepperoni mushroom, but I was responding to the various people on Twitter and social media, as it were.
So, Maz, one last question before we get out of here. Do you know how do Europeans know how to make noise?
We made some fucking noise this week, didn't we?
That's when you take your hands and you put them together like this. So real quick, let's make some noise for grown men coming together having a conversation, goddammit.